In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We will quieten at that portion of the Word of God that is written here in Psalm 51, from the beginning of the Psalm until verse 19. And the words are heard in Jesus' name. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in the burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. In Jesus' name, amen. This read psalm, the beginning text is that Nathan had gone to him for that reason. A psalm of David when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone in to Bathsheba. This brings our thoughts some 2,000 years ago to the reign of King David and to those happenings that happened in the life of David. David was born in the city of Bethlehem. He was the youngest son of his father, and him, God made to anoint the prophet Samuel, anoint him as king, a young shepherd boy. This happened in a time when King Saul was in his reign as king, as the first king of Israel. We remember from King David, or of David, that the Bible tells that he was obedient unto God. He did this humble, lowly work responsibly, entrusting in the work of God. And remember how he told how when the wolf or bear took a lamb, he would attack and would snatch that lamb from the mouth of the wolf, or bear. He did this with the power of God. This is how he confesses. On the other hand, the Bible tells of David how God said that he will place a king according to his mind or his heart. When King Saul was sick and was not in his right mind and was depressed and needed a comforter, then this young David, shepherd boy, was called there into the king's house, and he was a gifted singer and player of the harp, and he was able to get the king's mind to become happy, and the king was very satisfied in the work of David there in the palace of the king. And then the Bible tells of that, how the Israelites were fighting against the Philistines. And there on the side of the Philistines, there was this giant man who was a great warrior and who mocked the army of Israel. And he said unto them, that send your greatest warrior unto me, and that who will win, then that side will win and the other side will surrender. No one of the Israelis had the courage or bravery to take on this challenge. But when this matter came to David, to his knowledge, he asked the king for permission that could he go to battle against this giant. The king tried to withhold him back, and when David told how he had fought against the bear and the wolf, and how even now he trusts in this, that in the same way as how God protected him against those beasts or wild animals, in the same way God will protect him also against that great warrior when he battles with him. And so then the king gave him permission. And the king gave him his own armaments of war for this young boy, but they were so heavy and it was so hard for him to move with them. He did not wish to use them. He took them off and took his own sling and for that 5 stones, and he went with them to go to fight this great warrior. And this soldier was mocking and saying that, are you keeping me as a dog when you put this kind of a son or boy against me? And David says with a loud voice, I come with the power of the Lord, Sabaoth, against you. And so it happened that David slung a stone into that great warrior, and God made the matters happen in this way, that it hit the soldier in his forehead and he fell onto the ground. And David, with the sword of that own soldier's own sword, cut off his head. And so it happened, this miracle, that when the army of Israel uplifted their voices in a praise, all the armies of the Philistines left, and Israel received a great victory. And the nation rejoiced in the victory of David, but David gave glory of this unto God. King Saul placed this youth as the and as captain of his own personal guard. But when Saul was successful in all his duties and all his things, then this King Saul began to be jealous of this young believing man. And he began to think that he should kill or to destroy this young man. But God directed matters in such a way that this thought was not able to be made true or happen. And then in time, in battle, King Saul died, after which David was placed as king. And the Bible tells of this broadly, how David, in all his wars, expanded the areas of Israel so that it was the greatest during his time in power. And he was very well liked and respected as a king. And then we come to that situation to which pertains this psalm, the Psalm of David, which we read. It is spring, and the armies have gone to war, but David did not go with them. David stayed without anything to do there in his own palace, into his own house. And it happens in this way. One evening, he is there on the roof of the palace and sees how in a certain garden or yard of a house, a beautiful woman is washing. And he becomes falls in love with this woman and asks his servants, "Who is this woman?" And he is told that it is Bathsheba, the wife of your warrior Uriah. But how does it happen? David asks for them to go and fetch her, that wife, that woman, to him, and lays with her. At that time, the king had great power. He could do whatever he himself wished to do. And now, that one who was respected by all, King David, he falls into the sin of whoredom. And it happens so that this Bathsheba becomes pregnant, and this is told unto David. And David, when he had already fallen into sin, he needs another sin to cover up his original sin. And he asks Uriah to him, and then he sends him in the evening home and assumes that he will go and next to his wife. And the marriage couple will join together, and in that way he will cover his sin. But then the warrior does not go there. And the next day, David makes this Uriah to become drunken, that he will certainly go there when he is drunk, but yet he does not go. But he was a faithful soldier, that he could not go when all others are living in their tents and are battling against the Philistines. How can I go to my home to be with my wife? And now David decides to murder this man. He writes a letter to the captain of the army that to place this Uriah there at the battlefront and attack against the enemy, and the others shall retreat. And Uriah will remain there alone, battling there. And so what happened, and the Bible tells that so this happened, and Uriah died. David was guilty of the sin of murder. In the same way, he becomes guilty that he brings more others into this sin. Bathsheba, and also those who are the captains of the armies who have to do according to his command. And now when Uriah is dead, and the time of mourning has gone, and Bathsheba is brought into the palace of David, and she becomes one of the wives of David, and unto them is born a son. But God saw all. And God also saw this falling of David. Surely God had seen earlier that David, who had been successful, he had grown so large that he can do what he wishes to do. A man who has before done according to the will of God, prayed to God in all matters, done according to the will of God, all things. He has taken power. The Bible tells a little earlier how he asks two messengers to be slain who are bringing sorrowful news. He takes power to kill members of his own nation. And now he took power to remove a wife of one, of another, and then to murder this husband so he could have this wife unto himself. God has become angered with him, but God has not forsaken him. God sends Nathan, the prophet, to speak to David. Nathan tells, I will read it directly from here. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing, save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. From this story, David becomes angry. He becomes greatly angry. He becomes so mad at this man and says to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. David, who was the highest judge of his own nation, knew very well if he steal another lamb from another, then the law of Moses, such a one should be paid back fourfold. But that was not enough for David. But he is so in his hardness, and so his heart is so hard. There's no longer that tender young believing man. He shall surely die. He gives the sentence of death unto this man. He gives the sentence of death unto himself. And then Nathan says unto David, "Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon." From the prophet comes direct and courageous speech to the king. Nathan is not fearful, even though he surely knows that if he becomes angered, that king could command also that he would be killed. But Nathan is faithful to the direction of God. God has given him this duty to talk, and he does not fear the potential revenge of David. God gives a consequence, or that I will lift up unto I will rise up evil out of thy own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the son. And David said, now David breaks down. And then David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, and thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. This Psalm of David, which you read in the beginning, is a continuation to this situation, or to this happening, when here this believing man Nathan spoke or rebuked to him of his sin by name, and David was given to feel the weight of his sin. He was remorseful for his sin. And here in the Psalms is told of these feelings that David had before Nathan talked to him. Tells of those battles which happened here in the Psalm 40, of the battles which happened inside of him, is said in this way: I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor as such turn aside to lies. And yet somewhere in another portion in Psalm 32, for day and night, when I kept my silence, my bone waxed old through the warring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. David has gone a very fierce battle inside of himself over these happenings. He knew his own sinfulness. Against thee I have transgressed, I have done against thy will. Thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, O God, give me a new heart, and give me a free spirit. Deliver me not from before thy face. Take not away thy spirit. Give me yet again the joy of salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Is there not a different sound or different tone of David when he has received his sins forgiven? Those blood-red sins have become white as wool. But what does this story of the fall of David and his repentance, what does it tell us people of today, we believers, all of us, also to those who are not believing the same way as we are? If we would yet go to those very beginning pages of the Bible, when God created man and woman, and he placed them there in paradise, and gave them permission to do everything, but not to eat of that only the single tree, that of that tree you cannot eat those fruit. If you do so, you shall surely die. This he gave to Adam, this commandment. Adam told his wife, she knew it, he knew it. But what happened there? The enemy of souls, the wily serpent, spoke to Eve and asked that, is it true that you cannot eat of this tree? And Eve said that, yes, this is so. Of that God has denied us to eat of it. We will not eat of it. But the enemy of souls knows our weak points. He even knew the weak points of Adam and Eve. He said, no, it is not so. God knows that when that day you eat thereof, you shall be as wise as God. And this enticed Eve and Adam as well. And doesn't it very easily entice us as well. If you do this or that, then you shall truly get the name of a wise man or woman. That forbidden fruit through which the enemy of souls made them fall was that apple there in the tree of paradise. When they had eaten, they went and hid from God. They realized that they were naked and they fled. But God did not forsake them. God called them, "Adam, Adam, where art thou?" And when they came forth, God asked them. And Adam admitted that I ate when Eve gave. And Eve said that I ate after the serpent enticed me, beguiled me. And God cursed the serpent, that on the belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat. And one day shall come the one who will crush thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel, and thou wilt sting his heel. To Eve he gave a judgment that with sorrow thou shalt bring forth thy children, and that he will have a desire and a pull to your husband. And to Adam that with the sweat of thy brow thou shalt eat thy bread, or earn thy bread. That forbidden fruit was that apple. That forbidden fruit for King David was that beautiful woman, the woman of another man. He fell into the temptations and trap of the enemy of souls. And when he fell down, it happened to him, as it happens to many of us, that with sin, we cover another sin. And does it feel easier if some other one falls into the same sin? But God did not forsake David, as he did not forsake Adam or Eve. He himself called to them. He sent Nathan to call, to speak to David. And David received, felt the burden of his sins and humbled himself unto repentance, confessed his sins and humbled unto repentance, and he was able to believe his sins forgiven. How about for us? What is that forbidden fruit that we, children of today, are being enticed with so easy by the enemy of souls? Some, maybe that be the beautiful woman, wife of another man, or another husband of another woman. For others, it may be the richness of this time, greed after money. Might be the desire for power. Some may be bitter of this, that the children of God have warned them of something, of some matter, of such a thing, that here in the midst of believers do not keep as correct or as acceptable way of doing things. Some may become offended of this and become bitter. The enemy of souls feeds that thought. For others, mothers of large families, may be that when these children come very quickly, that the enemy of souls might say that, "What is this must do? That isn't this current knowledge such that you don't have to accept these all? Must we?" And if some of these things, we might think, why is my private life being talked about? For others, it might be some other matter. But be it whatever matter it may be, be it any sin of any name that has made one fall, then God has yet not forsaken us. Even if there is such a even one here of the word, that the enemy of souls has by for some reason been able to get made to fall, or they're listening to the radio or listening to other forms of media through other forms of media, if you feel inside of you that the enemy of souls has made you fall into that and that sin, I have fallen away from the kingdom of God in the same way as God himself called for David. Nathan called, rebuked David. So today in these services, in many, many turns of speaking in sermons, God is calling out the same invitation of grace that my son and daughter make repentance. Make repentance and believe your sins forgiven. God is calling everyone of his children that have fallen unto repentance. And we have this grace privilege. God has given us the grace privilege of confession, where we can look for a trusted brother or sister. We can tell of our own psalm to them. And we can ask from them that, can I believe this and this sin forgiven? And to you will be preached that, dear, precious friend, to believe in Jesus' name and blood, all sins forgiven. Be secure and blessed from the heart of the Heavenly Father and come back into the kingdom of God. This call has been called out through many years from the beginning of time, and when Jesus rose into heaven, he gave this duty to his own. Go and proclaim to all repentance and the forgiveness of sins. And that duty today, here in the summer services of Puri, we are proclaiming. Dear precious friend, make repentance and believe the gospel. Believe all sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. Dear brother and sister, together with me, who feel that the enemy of soul has yet again made to fall, you can even now believe all your own sins and temptations. You can believe them in Jesus' name and blood, forgiven. In Jesus' name and blood, all your sins are forgiven. You can be secure and blessed. It is secure to be in this throng. And just as King David wrote here, blessed are those whose evil deeds have been forgiven, whose sins have been wiped away. Blessed is that man whose God does not count for him to sin, and unto in whose heart there is no iniquity. It is secure to remain here, according to these words of the Psalm of David, believing. And this temporal journey continuing in the security of God's word, remain with God and in his keeping of his grace word. In Jesus' name, amen. And I would like to ask, that can I believe my own sins forgiven? I wish to believe together with you.